Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Psalm 103, David says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame, that we are dust." And David is right. There is a kind of a frailty to my existence and also to yours, which is to say that you and I are surrounded by forces beyond our control. The only way to try to deny or avoid this, and you can only do it for so long, is to live an unimportant life. You can chase superficial pleasure, aim at nothing. But if you try to live a life of purpose, beauty, and justice, if you try to follow Jesus and live as his disciple, then you learn pretty quickly that there are forces, personal, impersonal, human, supernatural forces that are beyond your control, which means that in a way you have a choice. You can give up and stop following Jesus. That's a bad choice, by the way. You can try to exert your control after all. Good luck with that. Or you can entrust yourself. You can entrust yourself and your life and your everything to Jesus. For just a few minutes this morning, we're going to ponder this reading that we just heard from Luke 7. It's a familiar story about the raising of the son of the widow at Nain. And the story teaches us at least, but pretty clearly, two things about Jesus. And it's interesting because it lines up with the fact that Jesus says two things. He speaks twice in the reading. And so then, based on what St. Luke is teaching us about Jesus, we will all again have that chance, that opportunity this morning to entrust ourselves, to commend ourselves, our body and soul and all things, to the care of Jesus. So of the two things to learn about Jesus from Luke 7, we'll take the obviously spectacular one first. I'd like to just for a minute to imagine the circumstances of the widow in the reading. I mean, talk about forces beyond your control. But then Luke writes, it's very simple, it's quiet, the way he narrates it. Luke writes that Jesus came up to the pallet or the bier on which the woman's dead son was lying, and Jesus touched it, and he spoke, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." You know, one of the odd and wonderful things that you get to do as a pastor, it's a kind of a burden and also a privilege, is that you get to be there when people die. You get to watch them die. Talk about forces beyond your control. But Jesus spoke. He said, "Arise," and picture it. I mean, if you possibly can. The dead man, Luke writes, sat up. And he began to speak. And I wonder what he said. "Hi, Mom." But such is the authority of Jesus. He can raise the dead. And as far as I can tell, if you have authority over death, then you pretty much have authority over everything. And that's the first thing the reading teaches us about Jesus, his authority. The second thing we learn, of course, and it's kind of right there again on the surface, is that Jesus has compassion. Now, you may or may not be aware of the fact that in the Gospels, we rarely learn what Jesus is feeling. The Gospel writers are just not interested in that. Ancient writers in general are not interested in telling narratives in that way. But there is one exception, and it happens a couple of times, that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we hear Jesus felt compassion. Jesus had compassion. And so he did that. He felt that, and he showed it by the other thing that he said to the woman, "Don't weep," or better, "Stop weeping." That was Vell's Fundamental Greek Grammar, chapter 32. But think about the story with me for just a second, if you would. In a way, there's really nothing extraordinary about the fact that Luke writes that Jesus had compassion. I mean, there was a whole crowd of people already with her from the town of Nain, and they had compassion. And if you, sinner that you are, had been there, you probably would have had compassion on her too. And if I had been there, what a pathetic situation. Who would not have compassion on this woman? And so the fact that in this text, Jesus has compassion in and of itself is not that extraordinary. But I'd like to explore in the Gospel of Luke very briefly this compassion of Jesus. And to do that, I'd like to take you to another thing that he said. It's in chapter 23. Luke writes, "Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left, and Jesus spoke. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.'" Now, do not misunderstand Jesus. It is not, "Oh, well, they don't realize what's going on, so it's okay." No. These soldiers are caught up in forces beyond their control, and they are utterly ignorant of what they are doing and what is going on. They are completely unaware that they are destroying the only truly noble, just, innocent life of truth and beauty to walk the face of the earth since Genesis 3. Ignorant, unaware, committing the worst conceivable sin because they are completely out of control, and they are crucifying the Son of God in their ignorance. And in his compassion for them, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." Now, I'm suggesting to you that it was Jesus' compassion that led him to speak those words. We may also believe that it was Jesus' compassion that led him to the cross in the first place. Though he had authority over death itself, his compassion led him into the storm, into the howling storm of sin and rage and evil and selfishness and political compromise and power-hungry corrupt politicians and moral indifference and all of those forces that could sweep you and me away. He went down into the storm, and it swept him away, and his voice of compassion was stilled. And then God the Father acted. He did the greatest deed in history. He raised his Son from the dead. And the Father, in raising Jesus from the dead, has established him as the Lord. As the Lord over death, as the Lord over sin, as the Lord over everything in heaven and on earth. And here is the opportunity. This Jesus who has compassion for all, this Jesus who has authority over all, is for you. And today, again, I invite you to entrust yourselves to him in the face of forces that are beyond your control. In a way, it's a simple thought, but it is the most difficult thing of all to do. Only, in fact, the Spirit of God can make this happen. It's hard because although we understand Jesus' compassion and we believe in his authority, it's hard for a lot of reasons, but it's hard because we don't always know what he will say to us. We'd like him to say, "I'll take that struggle away." But he doesn't do it. There are days when you do nothing but long for him to say, "I'll make that relationship right." But he doesn't do it. No, he is the Lord, and he decides. And in the face of what it can feel for all the world like disappointment and no answer to prayer, it can be really hard for me or you to entrust ourselves to him, because we don't always know what he will say to us. But we know some of the things that he will say. He may have spoken these words to you yesterday as a called and ordained servant of Christ, the voice of Jesus, and by his authority. Your sin and mine, wiped clean again, forgiven again, mercy new again. Every day, every sin, even the sin of failing to entrust myself to him. We know some of the things that he will say. I will be at work. I have a plan for you, even if you'd rather I didn't. I have a plan to mold you, to make you into someone who is wise, and true, humble, strong. I'm in the process of making you into someone who can endure and rejoice and serve to the glory of God. His authority, he will do it. And we know one thing. The day is coming when Jesus will speak to everyone. I say to you, arise. And death itself will bow the knee to Jesus' authority. Death will die. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to God the Father's glory. But until that day and for today, I invite you to entrust yourself to the compassion and the authority of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing the hymn.